Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hello. Welcome back to Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily Jensen here with my sister-in-law, Laura Wiffler.
Hello, hello.
And before we get started, we wanted to talk about a little something that would be really encouraging and helpful for us, leaving an iTunes review.
Yeah, I know we always ask about this and we usually try to leave it at the end, but it seems like all their podcasters are putting it at the beginning. So we feel like we can do that every once in a while. And actually, I put together a whole page on how to do an iTunes review and a rating and even how to subscribe to a podcast. So we are going to have those up on our website, risenmotherhood.com, because we have heard from many of you. Hey, I want to leave a review, but I don't know how, or it seems too hard. It is not hard. I absolutely promise. If you know how to use Facebook or email or anything, you can do it. So, you know, we just really desire to reach the gospel message about motherhood to as many moms as possible. And that is the best way to do it. Like if you think about Amazon reviews and how those work, or maybe you read reviews before you buy clothing or anything like that, that's what people are doing before they listen to podcasts. So if you have already done that for us, we just want to say a massive thank you. Like so huge. Yeah. We really appreciate it. And we have just loved reading some of those things. And ultimately, this isn't about Laura Emily. We really hope that all of you are feeling like the show is really about Jesus. And we desire to just get out of the way. And we hope that you really are encouraged to just draw more deeply into your relationship with God. And so if that's something that's happened for you, we would just ask that you'd leave a review. So yeah, that is our request. We are asking and humbling ourselves a little bit because it is hard for us to do that. But we really would appreciate that because it's just huge for being able to be ranked in iTunes and all their silly algorithms and such.
Oh yeah. All that good stuff.
Okay. That part's over. Now we're going to get into the fun stuff.
Yeah. So today, we are trying to answer the question here. When does God start working in a child's heart? And I know for me, I kind of felt like, you know, when I had my first child and he was a little baby, that all the spiritual stuff and all of the God stuff was going to kind of come later.
Yeah.
Like when he starts talking, or even more so, I had in my mind this like beautiful picture of like sitting at the kitchen table and doing these memory verses and having deep theological conversations and doing catechisms. And hey, he's four and it still doesn't look like that. But I think it's important, and Lauren, I think it's important that we don't, you know, devalue the time when our children are infants, because now looking back, with just a little tiny bit of time, I can see how important that stage was and how the Lord was working in my children's hearts, even when they were infants and forming a bond and helping their brain develop and all of those things. So that's kind of what we're talking about today.
Yeah. We really want to talk through just that importance of even when they're babies and they're not really responding to these things, of really investing the gospel into their lives, that stuff starts, you know, since the moment you meet them. So,
and there's even, you know, in the Bible, there's even evidence of, what is it? Mary, when she's pregnant, she, goes to her cousin Elizabeth and, you know, her baby like leaps in her womb.
Yeah.
So we, you know, Laura and I don't have all of the answers today, but you know, the Lord is working like long before I think we even realize, I can remember working as kind of like a nursery worker at a local Bible study in the infants room. And at first when I was doing that, I was kind of like, oh, I don't, you know, like, I guess this kind of feels important, but like, is this, you know, is this like a job where I'm really getting to pass along God's love to these children? And at the end of the year, I was just so humbled because after singing over those children and praying over those children and even speaking like really basic Bible stories to them, I just had so much faith that God really was planting seeds in their heart at that time, even if I couldn't see it.
Yeah. I mean, I think like, I mean, for me, I always have called myself not really a kid person, but I'm a my kid person, you know? And, I think I really struggled with the baby stage because I wasn't getting anything back, or it felt like it. And, And so there was part of me that just really wanted to speed through it and like get them mm-hmm. like talking and feeling like, oh, you're my buddy. Like I remember my son when he was like 18 months old, I was like, you're like my best friend, you know, like we do everything together all day. But prior to that, like I was really struggling with not sort of wanting to wish it away until I could, you know, feel like I was being more intentional and having more kind of feedback and things. And so, but mm-hmm. like, I think both Emily and I have stories of like things that we've done with our kids, mm-hmm. you know, prior to really being kind of a walking, talking, somewhat logical. Yeah. I mean, there's debate on when they become logical.
But, yeah. That takes a while.
Yeah. But you know, before that of like things where our children have like remembered songs or like mm-hmm. been able to say even some scripture or prayers or different things mm-hmm. that we have just repetitively done. And even like mm-hmm. building a love for the Bible, you know, reading out of that every night and them understanding mm-hmm. what that is. And, you know, just like a lot of things that our children have soaked up during that time that we didn't realize.
Totally. It is amazing to me. And so if you are a mom of an infant right now, and you're kind of waiting for like the big work to start, take heart, because you are doing big gospel work right now.
Yes.
And God is not limited like we are by language or maturity or being able to understand. I remember hearing, I don't even remember what speaker I heard this from one time, but just talking about how the Lord knows all things and he is all powerful. And so he has access to a baby's, you know, brain and heart, and is able to work in there in ways that we don't understand always. So
yeah,
be encouraged and know that this is an important season to just be an image bearer of God to your children.
Yes, exactly. And like we image Christ as life bearers. And so this is like a huge gift for us to show our children, you know, who God is, what mm-hmm. he is like, you know, not only through our actions and how we serve our child, our baby over and over again. It's a lot of repetitive action. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, how, if you think about it, like we are sort of like babies towards God's, like we really can't do anything mm-hmm. on our own. We, mm-hmm. God continues to gently care for us, especially mm-hmm. when we're new believers, like the whole milk mm-hmm. to solid food thing. I mean, there are a lot mm-hmm. of parallels even that you can see, mm-hmm. Really come alive when you're nurturing a baby.
Yeah. I love, there's this part in 1 Thessalonians where Paul talks about how he treated the people of Thessalonica.
Yeah.
You guys, I'm getting deep in my pronunciation knowledge here, about treating them like a nursing mother. And I love, you know, there's those types of, imagery that are used all over the Bible. And mm-hmm. he talks about how, he was gentle with them and he gave of him his whole self. And anyone who's, you know, fed a baby at all in any way knows how much, you know, sacrifice, you know, every couple of hours it takes to give to a baby. And so mm-hmm. just think about all of the spiritual, realities that we are imaging for them. And even if they don't understand it, the Lord sees, other people sees. It is a beautiful picture of what discipleship looks like and what God's love for us looks like.
Exactly. And I think another big thing that I'm really been learning as I go through this adoption process, I feel like I'm really learning a lot about what's happening in the infant stage, because we are planning on adopting children that are probably 2 to 4 years old, probably somewhere in there. And just like the amount of development that's happening that we as moms don't even realize, the foundation that we're setting with these infants. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm reading through this book, The Connected Child, and it's by Karen Purvis and a couple other people, but I will link to it in the show notes. And honestly, even if you're not adopting, great book to check out. I have highly recommend. Mm-hmm. It's like one of my favorite books on parenting in general, but a lot of the stuff that they talk about, just from even like a research standpoint, is that, even a mom's emotional circumstances during pregnancy affect the newborn, which I think is just an amazing thing that God has done. Mm-hmm. Of just, you know, like everything is happening just even from the moment of conception and all of those things you can see about in the book. But like a lot of children don't develop moral compasses. They don't understand like how to not hurt someone because they've never closely connected with a person. So they don't have that bond. It's really fascinating research. I have more, but I won't even go into it. But so read the book. But I love how it just shows how vital God has made that time of a mother or father or grandparent. But specifically, we're talking to moms today of like, of how a mother can care and nurture for that child. And now I'm looking at with my adoptive children, and again, I haven't done it yet, so I can't speak from first person experience, but of needing to kind of make up for that time that I will have, mm-hmm. my children may have missed, having mm-hmm. someone to closely nurture them, and kind of the after effects of what will happen.
Totally. And I think that at least from what I remember, especially like being in the baby stage a couple of times, like you were saying, Laura, there's kind of this feeling of, I'm not saying wanting to rush through it, but feeling like it's less important. But exactly like what Laura said, there is like majorly life altering, important foundational things yeah. being developed and laid. And this is the groundwork from which like you can even talk to them about the gospel or talk to them about the Bible or
yes.
talk to them about obeying God down the road. That is part of being able to pass some of these deeper things on later. I always joke that it's like making good Iowa soil, like or soil. I live in Iowa, so like rich Iowa soil, so that when they are a toddler or when they are a little bit older, you have great heart soil to be planting mm. seeds in, because you've been nurturing it. So and just like specific ways, we thought we'd go through yeah. just a couple of, you know, I mean, you probably know a lot of these, but. Whole, you know, taking time to snuggle them, taking time to be face to face with them, you know, taking that time to linger and interact and make sounds and just be
and
with
I
them.
I think, Em, those are really good, especially when you have more subsequent children to keep in mind, mm-hmm. because I think that yes. was harder for me. Like the moment I had baby two, it was like my attention's divided and only pressing needs are met, and mm-hmm. totally a normal stage. And God is so gracious that like, just oh, because, yeah. you know, we give our first, like all this adoring eye contact, and our second, we're like, hey, if you're crying hard enough, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
But really just, I think it's a good reminder of like taking that mm-hmm. time out, even when that baby isn't, you know, needing mm-hmm. our attention, but of really mm-hmm. Intentionally making sure with, as your family grows larger, you're able to do those things, especially if those that you were just saying.
Yes, totally. No. And what's fun too, is that at least I've experienced as I've had subsequent yeah. children, like
Emily has
it's
four.
A gift. I'm like, oh, it is such a joy to me to be able to go be with the baby because my other kids are, they climb up onto my lap and they're like needing things. Like, you know, it's a little bit more stressful. So I think just view it as like a gift.
Yes.
That time is a joy. It's a nice break. The other night, my husband was like, can I feed the baby before he goes to bed? And I was like really possessive of him. Like, I have to do the other kids. No, this is like my little time that I yeah. have with him. So find those times, make it special, whether you have, you know, one child or four children or more, yes. you can find those little times.
Yeah. And so other practical tips, I mean, I think mm-hmm. one that was really helpful for me is that I spoke scripture over my kids during a diaper mm-hmm. change. So I taped a verse above my changing table. And so my husband yeah. could do it or I could do it. And we would just change them out like weekly or kind of when I would mm-hmm. remember. But that's like a very practical tip of just,
yeah,
it's a time to like trigger in your brain. Hey, I want to speak scripture to them. And so that's like a very practical idea.
The practical ideas are awesome though. Like those are the ones that are really, really inspiring to me. I know I was at a baby shower one time and the woman who was giving the devotional was talking about this type of, you know, investment, even in your baby. And she was saying every night her husband would recite a psalm over her baby's crib. And, you know, they did this every night, not really thinking anything of it. And then when their daughter was like somewhere around like 2 years old, one night she stood up in her crib and she recited the whole thing
Crazy.
With her dad. And they like didn't even know, you know, like they yeah. didn't even know she was really like listening. And she said the whole thing for them and they were just like shocked. And it's like, wow, that is like deeply imprinted. And I know yeah. I've had the exact same happen with two or three things, especially with my oldest, who now, you know, I can I've seen time pass a little bit, but things that I told him spiritually that I said over and over and over mm-hmm. again, or even mm-hmm. songs that I know I did not sing to him much past the age of two, that he sings to me now word for word, you know, like yep. Amazing Grace. And I'm totally. Like, he retained that from yep. before he could talk.
Yep. Yeah. My son knows Amazing Grace as well. And like a lot of the verses, it's because we both sang it. And I've heard that of like people a hymn for their children. And that's like the main one that they will sing over and over them again. Mm. And like anytime it comes on, then they hear it at church and they're like, hey, it's my song or whatever. Mm-hmm. And as they get older, but like starting that when they're really, really young, you know, like this is their song, or a life mm-hmm. verse. A lot of people do that. But, and I think yeah. that ties into one other of going to church with regularity, especially.
Yes.
I remember with my first, it was pretty easy. Like when you're kind of, you know, newer mm-hmm. to motherhood and trying to like figure out, like there's a lot going on and a lot of adjustment mm-hmm. happening. It can be easy to kind of slough off some of those commitments, especially with nap times and, mm-hmm. Those things. And I think, making that a priority, allowing your mm-hmm. child to see, even as a baby, I know it seems like, hey, they're not learning anything, but they are, as we've clearly
yes.
talked about here. It helps them be familiar and comfortable with how a service works and understanding that mm-hmm. church is super important to mom and dad. It's part of our weekly routine. It's mm-hmm. vital to our fellowship with other believers and my relationship with God. And so even as an infant, they can begin to like build that block into their life.
Totally. And I'm trying to think, other practical things would be things like go ahead and start a routine with them of like, yeah. maybe it's reading a little Bible before bed, or totally. It's praying before meals, or it's speaking a blessing over them before bed. I know, you know, we've done that with our kids since they're babies. And yep. it's like, whatever you start, even if they're not really totally aware of what you're doing, or they're kind of squirming around. What's cool is that when they get to kind of the toddler stage where they are kind of starting to push back on mm-hmm. things, a lot of times if they've been doing something their whole life already,
yep.
they don't know any different.
So true.
And
so
you,
true.
I remember a parent told me one time, an older, wiser mom said, if anything, start the routine for you, mm-hmm. for your self-discipline as a parent, more than anything. It's like, okay, this is the easiest time to start when they're a baby.
Yes.
Not that you can't start later. You can start anytime.
You can. Yes, totally. Totally agree. So yeah, these are just a few ideas to get you yeah. started. I mean, talk to your mom friends, see what other people are doing. There are like a million great ideas out there. And so, mm-hmm. But we just want you to feel like, hey, this time is really special, and to realize mm-hmm. the foundation that you are really building as an infant is so important, mm-hmm. that God is not limited by language. He's not limited by maturity. And, you know, a lot of times we're constantly just thinking about all of the like, okay, this is what I'm going to feed them. This is when we're going to feed them. This is when they're going to nap. And we're very focused on the physical, which mm-hmm. is important, and it's kind of in your face yes. as a baby. But we really want to encourage you guys to be very aware as well as what's going on spiritually, and just mm-hmm. to remember that God is not limited in his work for them and their hearts mm-hmm. right now, that he is starting. I mean, he started long before they were even conceived.
Yeah.
That for you, mm-hmm. that hands-on work is starting the moment they're in your arms.
Amen. That's encouraging for me too. That has, you know, a 1-year-old, but, so we hope that even though you're not maybe seeing all the fruit right now, that you are encouraged to go be an image bearer of the gospel yes. to your children as you are being, you know, giving life by your sacrifice, yep. Just like Jesus did for us.
Exactly.
So we hope that you enjoyed this today. We will have all of our show notes on risenmotherhood.com, where we will try to include more links.
And some of our, we'll put in like maybe yeah. our favorite children's Bible or some music yeah. that we like. Some of those practical things.
Definitely. You can find all the practical things, anything we mentioned, on our show notes. And then as always, you can find us on social media at Risen Motherhood, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah, it's the same for all three. Isn't that awesome? I just kind of
realized
that.
That is awesome.
It's all the same. It's so easy for you to find us.
And don't forget about the rating and review on yes. iTunes. And yeah, thanks for joining us, guys.